Anthony Gormley was born in London in 1950 and lives and works in that town. Most of his works begin with a casting taken of his own body. In this connection, Anthony Gormley explores the technical and poetic possibilities of this method of work in very different dimensions and contexts.
What is the nature of sculpture? And for me, sculpture has always tried to inscribe in geological time something of the fleeting nature of human experience, of human feeling and thinking. And when I say geological time, I mean an intuition that has existed within human consciousness for a very long time, that the birth of the universe and the planet happens in a very different time scale to human consciousness and even ideas about human history. And sculpture has always been, in its essence, a bridge between human time and this idea about deep time. And the most powerful sculpture has always tried to touch, reach out and touch this deep time in order to do two things. One is to in some way bear witness to human existence, and another is in some way to touch the unknown, to touch that which lies beyond human experience. This is an attempt to embed in geological time something of the elusive and ephemeral nature of human existence, thought and feeling. But I'm using this industrial methodology. It's almost like I'm making an industrial fossil. It may seem strange for a visual artist to in some way not care so much about the visibility of their work. But I think in this time in which the visible in many senses has been subverted by the way that it has been used by advertising to create desire, or through the media to create aversion, that I think in many ways there are more important things to try to have a relationship with than simply using the visible as a method of communicating one human to another. In other words, I think that the notion of interpersonal human communication has to be set against something else, which may be to do with communicating with something maybe that lies beyond or beneath human experience. And anyway, I mean, that is one part of my feeling about this work, that it exists. It's more important that it exists than that it is seen. I like the idea that on a winter's day, when the Düssel is filled with mud carried from the rain, nevertheless, the work is there, lying in the bed of the stream. And a father might say to the son, "There's a man down there." And immediately I would suggest that the child's perception of what it is that he's looking at changes from, in a sense, innocence to a sense of knowledge of beyond what is visible. I think this kind of transformation is very much what art can do. I'm not interested necessarily in making some kind of magic, but I very much like the idea that the work will change, that there will be times when it is invisible. There's quite a lot to say I think, about what is a river? What is this movement that is, in a way, so compelling? Why do we always move towards water when we can, towards the sea, towards a lake, towards a stream? I think it's very deep with us, the association between water and life, and even between water and the idea of consciousness, that we are immersed in something and it is also immersed in us. And for me, the dream of making this work existed for a long time before this opportunity, and this opportunity could not have been more blessed in a way, because of exactly this, the location of this Neanderthal Valley between the memory of an early hominid and the reality of an industrialized Germany. Anyone wandering by in a suitably receptive state of mind, in some senses will say to herself, what is that body doing there? And in time, the body that is lying there asks the same question of the looker, and what are you doing here? And I hope that this question, this open space, this somebody that could be anybody, becomes an opportunity, a kind of opening for all kinds of reflexivity.